Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I, returning from 2 weeks off, am your Jam That champion, Chopper P. Quinnell. I'm joined by your Quizzlemania champion, Tempest the Wrestler, Intangibles Reunited.
For reunited life. And it feels so good. So good.
Hell yeah, man. How you been?
Back.
I'm back. How you been with me absent? How have you been?
Oh, I've had to talk to so many people, so many more people than normal. I had to talk to that Luke fellow. Oh, what a nightmare that was. I've been well. It's been busy around here, of course, because every week at least one person is off. So there's a lot of sharing of workloads and such. But overall, it's been quite positive. I have to keep watching this stupid NXT show, which brings my mood down every Tuesday. But we're here to have fun, here to make fun of this stupid, dumb show. And that should make me feel a little bit better.
A little bit better. Well, that's good. And I heard that your Halloween costume, no one got confused about what it was or said the wrong thing at all.
Nope. Not a single person mistook my Nightwing outfit for a Power Ranger outfit.
Dude, literally, I didn't see anything or the costume or anything at all. I was just listening to WrestleTalk After Dark on the way into the office this morning, and I heard someone say, "You're in a Power Rangers outfit," and then you said, "No, it's not," and I was like, "I bet you was in a Nightwing outfit," and then you said, "Yeah, it's Nightwing." I was like, "Oh, I'm so good. I don't even need to see it."
You are so good. Of course, nobody mistook my Power Ranger outfit for a Nightwing outfit. It doesn't quite work the other way around. But whatever, it's fun. Just no one here, I shouldn't say no one, there are people who are cultured in the ways of comic books and nerd culture. It's just none of the people that I did After Dark with.
Well, to be fair, we had, who was it? It was you, Andy, Jenna, and Abby for most of it. Yeah, it popped in, right? So all-star lineup, you know, of After Dark regulars. And yeah, that I think, as you called them out rightly on the episode, they're the fake nerds, you know. Yeah. We've got the people, oh, you like Harry Potter? Ooh, really out there, you know. God, yeah, those guys. Anyway.
These fake nerds, they don't have a pile of comic book next to their bed.
I mean, not in
like
fairness,
this guy.
In fairness, I've never read a comic book, but...
Get out of here, fake nerd. Get out of here. Get out of here. Kicking you out. Nope, kicking you out. Fake nerd. He's a fake nerd. He's not allowed to participate in this stream anymore. Fake nerd. All right. Yeah, go on.
Okay, thanks for that. Nerd. Appreciate it. I mean, I'm just nerdy about other stuff.
Yeah, it's true. You play
D&D. Dude, I was just about to mention D&D. Because as part of my 2 weeks off, I went away to Brighton with some friends. There were seven of us that went away to a friend's house and stayed there and had a good time. We played 7 hours of D&D, and it was delightful. It was probably I think it's really close between one and two, but it might be the best session of D&D I've ever played, which is ridiculous. And I've got a story about D&D that I'm going to say in the outro of this video, or the outro of the podcast, sorry. So that's a little tease for all you podcast listeners to stick around for the outro, because I've got a very good D&D story to share about my time away in Brighton. It was a wonderful time. I also, as part of my time off, I know you didn't ask what I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I'm very excited about it. I got to meet my niece for the first time ever, which was amazing. My family from Canada came over. From just outside Toronto. They came and stayed and stuff, which was very cool. Got to meet my niece. She's just turned two yesterday. And that kid is a genius. Like, so when I saw her, she obviously hadn't turned two yet, right? But you could have full conversations with this kid. Like, no exaggeration. She completely understood, like, pretty much anything you'd say, to the point where they would start having to spell things out so that she didn't pick up on certain things. So, you know, we'll go to the P-A instead of
Wow. It's but like then, a really smart dog.
But then she'd pick up on us saying P-A-R-K and understood what that meant now. So we couldn't even say that. It was just, oh man, she's a smart kid. She's so good at parroting back, being like, can you say this thing? And then she'll just say it back. Doesn't really matter what it is. She's just very good at mimicking what someone's just said. So it's literally, they had my sister-in-law's brother, uncle, something, some relation that she has, works in like nuclear power or whatever. And she was like, can you say authorized nuclear operator? And she goes, authorized nuclear operator. I was like, how? You're not even two. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, very smart kid. She melted my heart. She's amazing. Thoroughly enjoyable trip. And yeah, it was a really good time. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
It was a wholesome time. That's what it was.
No, it's not a wholesome time. This goddamn episode of NXT.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Where the first thing we're going to be talking about is this new Dakota Kai character that she seems to have. She returned last week at Halloween Havoc, and it seems like, yeah, she's got this sort of split personality deal going on. So we'll try and figure out what that's all about. Let's talk about it. LIW for life. I'm back, everybody.
Yay!
Calm down, everyone. It's okay. You can rest easy now. Your boy's back. LIW's back. All right, let's talk about NXT.
Do we have to?
Yep, we got to, unfortunately. I've had 2 weeks off. I'm feeling recharged. I'm feeling refreshed. So I'm coming back with a fresh perspective. I missed Halloween Havoc. Haven't watched it. Won't watch it either. But I got a fresh perspective on NXT. So did I enjoy it more this week? Not really. Let's talk about it though. Because first things first, getting your ultra chats at wrestletalk.com/support, but also we're sponsored by Beer 52. We've been sponsored by Beer 52 loads over the summer. They're wonderful people talking about the great taste you can get of your craft beers. They're a craft beer service, UK viewers only. You can go to the link at the top of the description and in the pinned comment in the live chat, beer52.com/wrestletalk. And you can get 10 free beers. All you have to do is pay for the postage of $5.95. Get a free crate of craft beer. It is wonderful. Very tasty. And would highly recommend. They're great people. You get a snack. You get a magazine displaying all the different regions that the beers are from. They are a good time. UK viewers only. Go click the link. 10 free beers. Normally when people get sponsored by Beer 52, they get 8 free beers. Because we're so special, we get 10. Which means you get 10. Oh, it's a good time. So go click the link, check it out. They're great people. So Let's talk about this episode of NXT. The thing we're going to be talking about is Dakota Kai, who came back last week at Halloween Havoc, and cost Raquel Gonzalez the NXT Women's Championship, so I hear. And she came in on this week and just destroyed Cora Jade fairly convincingly. But then afterwards was the bit that was really interesting, because the match itself was a bit kind of botchy. They just weren't clicking for whatever reason. I don't know why there was some like anti-chemistry going on, or whether they're like one of them was just not having a good day or whatever it was, but they just weren't clicking for whatever reason. And the match ended with the Dakota Kai's boot in the corner. She got the victory. And but then afterwards, it looked like she wanted to beat up Cora Jade some more. She dragged her out the ring. She got a table and put it on Cora Jade's face, on the outside, or the back of her head, I should say, on the outside. Or was it a face? One of the two, whatever. She was lying on the floor, put a table on her. And it looked like she was going to go on the Tempest. On the Tempest. God, my brain. I'm already... She was going to go... I was half glancing at the chat and saw the word Tempest. And then my... you know, whatever. She got up on the apron and was going to stomp on the table on her face, but then decided not to, and was like looking very conflicted, and her head was kind of going around and trying to shake off,
twitching,
like, some kind of voice in her head, you know. So yeah, that happened. Don't know what's going on. Maybe she's got some kind of split personality. I didn't hate this.
No, you didn't? Oh, God. We're going to disagree on this show.
I know we are.
I thought this was the worst thing on the whole show by a significant margin. And I was like, we're starting with that? All right. I mean, the match was not good. It was a big old pile of not very good, for all the reasons that you said, of course. They just weren't clicking on this night. Maybe it has to do, I don't know. I don't want to put the blame on any one particular person, but Cora Jade is very young. Matches like this are probably going to happen, but you put it on TV in a show we got a review, so I'm going to give it a bad review. And then we've got this. Someone help me. What the hell this was? What? Why is she twitching? The overacting in this segment, where she's like, I can't see my eyebrows, but they're scrunched, like, oh, what? Oh, dude, just twitching. What am I watching here? Why is she twitching? Oh, this was just so dumb. Okay. Why did you like this?
Okay, so maybe my 2 weeks off has refreshed me a little bit. Maybe I've just got fresh eyes coming into this. I don't know. But yes, it was very overacted. Totally agree with you on that front. It was very kind of hokey with like the twitching and the looking around. But she has a character. And that's nice. She has some sort of difference from when she went away. And I like that she's not the same person. She came back as a different character. She's got a new layer to it. And I assume we're kind of like getting this sort of like split personality, or like some sort of like she's hearing voices in her head, copyright trademark Randy Orton. But, you know, this sort of character where she's like a psychologically conflicted character is okay. I'm all right with it if that's where they're going to go. I just, yeah, it was very overacted. It was very hokey, but you know, it's NXT 2.0. So for me, this is one of the more subtle characters they're doing. So, you know,
I can't call this subtle.
I can't call this subtle at all.
Let's just
put that in perspective. It's not subtle. For NXT 2.0, it might be. Who else have they got? You know? Hey, I'm Tony D'Angelo. You know, we just got here. I'm a caricature of a character. I got nothing on you. You know, that's the style. That's the level that we're talking about of NXT 2.0 characters.
Forget about this, it.
For this is it's more subtle. It's not subtle. It's more subtle. That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know where this is going to go, but she, like, Toxic Attraction spoke to her backstage briefly to say, like, you know, I'm assuming they were going to say, you know, thanks for helping me out and gifting me the NXT Women's Championship. But she was like, didn't do it for you. I just ended it to end Raquel. So there you go. It's fine.
It is. Yeah. Okay. It's not often that we have diametrically opposed views on these shows, but oh, it's all right. I just blah. I don't know. This was just not my cup of tea. And you could say, like, at least she's got some sort of character. I would prefer, like, a character written by someone who knows how to write a character, not just she's that's the fair. Same person, but with a goddamn Twitch. You know,
this is not a good show. I'm going to try and find the positives where I can. Otherwise, I am so mad.
I am too. I am trying. I'm very much trying to find it. Because there were parts of this show where it was so bad that I thought it was fun and I did get enjoyment out of it. This was the bit where I was just like, if I didn't get paid for this, I would turn the show off right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. I don't know, man. I didn't hate it. You know, I didn't hate it. Quality. I did see that. That's very funny from Timothy B saying she doesn't have a Twitch. WWE doesn't allow that.
Quality. Well done.
I was going to say topical humor, but I realized that edit came out like a year ago. Yeah. It's not really topical, but, you know, that makes sense. Anyway, let's see what you guys thought, because I don't really have too much else to say about this.
I mean, it was like a 2-minute match that was bad, and then a beatdown angle with a Twitch.
Yeah, man. I mean, to be fair, the other talking point we could have gone with was a stare down that lasted about 15 seconds. So, you know, that's the level we're at for this show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Let's get into your Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get in your Ultra Chats. We'll go through all of those, all of the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Charles Berg says, while I make fun of his name, I do see tremendous upside in Brink Brunkles. Strong as hell, does cool moves, and really charismatic. I think Bippity Boppity Boop has a real chance to be a top star. Brim Brixley, Beyblade Bovanovich. Okay, I'm done. Jam that jam. I agree.
Well done.
I really like Brom Breaker. I think he's great.
I didn't know that Charles Berg was just Luke Owen in disguise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Brom Breaker's great. I love Brom Breaker. More Brom Breaker. Brom Breaker was good on this show.
He was, yeah. When I heard the siren going off, heard his music, I was like, good. I'm excited.
Hey, a guy that I like and want to watch wrestle. There are like two of those guys on NXT now. A total of two. It's like Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes are the only people where I'm like, ooh, excitement.
Yeah. Oh, that's depressing. Christ.
A little bit.
To be fair, it's hard because when I hear the Waze music, I get excited. I'm like, Johnny Gargano. And then Dexter Luna comes out and I'm like, oh, Dexter. You know, there's the half and half there. I still really do like Johnny Gargano. I'm just not pumped about Dexter wrestling. I'll be real with you guys. Get in more of your Ultra Chats at wrestletalk.com/support. And we'll go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. We'll do some more of those later. Before we get into the review of the main show, we just want to remind everyone once again that we are sponsored by Beer 52, who are wonderful people who have sponsored the show so many times. They're great. For UK viewers, you can get a crate of 10 free craft beers by going to beer52.com/wrestletalk. The link is at the top of the description and pinned comment in the live chat as well. All you have to do is pay for the postage of $5.95. You get 10 free craft beers. They taste wonderful. And there's like loads of variety in them as well. They can come from all over the world. And if you don't particularly like dark beers, then you've got a light option where you can just get the light beers. It's a win for everybody. They're wonderful beers. Go check them out. Drink responsibly and have a good time. Because Beer 52 are wonderful people and we love them on this show. So go support them and support us. Click the link. Go check it out. Thank you very much. Now let's talk about NXT, because this show opened up with a Mandy Rose promo. Hot damn, a Mandy Rose promo. And she said, Tempest, if you could say it for me, please.
I have no idea what you're talking about. She got a very eloquent promo about being just so sexy.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah. That's the thing. It was fine. And it's like the character's fine. Is it NXT Women's Champion material? Probably not. But you know, it's NXT 2.0.
Yeah. I said in my written review that I'm not seeing enough difference between her and like Carmella and Eva Marie. Like they're all playing the same character. And when you see the same character like three times a week, I just can't really get that invested in it. Because I'm just like, all right, it's kind of like a rerun. When she's got the whole package going with Toxic Attraction backing her up, at least she's then part of a stable and all that. But when it's just one person cutting a promo, then it's still just a promo that I hear three times a week.
Yeah, that's the thing behind it. And she was saying how she recapped how she won at Halloween Havoc. And she was saying how Gigi and Jason and JC weren't out with her this time. Cuts backstage and they're attacking Zoe Stark in the locker room. And she said, we're here. I'm the baddest bitch in NXT. She said the B word. And
so edgy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was okay. But then Io Shirai came out, and I was like, okay, Io Shirai as a challenger for Mandy Rose is probably going to make for a very good match because it's Io Shirai and she's fantastic. And you know, Mandy Rose isn't terrible in the ring. She is, she's perfectly fine. She's decent in the ring. So I think they could get a very good match out of it. And weirdly, Io Shirai came out and was like, I want to fight right now. And Mandy was like, okay, and then beat her up. Like, it kind of made Io look a bit rubbish. because she came out and was like ready, like bouncing around the ring to be like, right, let's go, let's fight right now. I don't like Zoe Stark, but I like you even less. Let's fight right now. And Mandy was just like, you want to go right now? Okay, let's get a referee out here. And then she punched her, and the commentator was like, oh, a cheap shot from Mandy Rose. It's like, is it? She just hit her in front of her after Io came out for a fight. Okay. Bit of a dumb baby face moment. But, you know, then we had a dumb heel moment right after where she was just talking on the mic and getting in Io's face being like, I'm just so sexy. You know, that thing. And then Io beat her up some more.
She was what?
Do you want to say it again, Tempest?
No, I want you to say it because you were just freaking out doing this.
I was. Just so sexy. That's what it is. It's just so sexy.
Just so sexy.
She did that, and then she got beaten up by Io, and then Gigi and JC save Mandy, and then Casey, Catanzaro, and Kaden Carter come out to save Io Shirai, and then they've got a six-man tag, or a six-woman tag next week. Cool.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Cool. Yeah, no, I like Io Shirai as the first challenger for Mandy Rose. I think that works. I don't think Io Shirai is going to win the title back or anything like that, but it means that we'll probably get a very good match out of it. And honestly, when it comes to NXT, those are not as frequent as they used to be. So I'm going to be happy if we just get a good match out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I could not possibly care less about seeing JC Jayne and Gigi Dolin fight Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter again. Because again, now that the Io Shirai and Zoe Stark are now no longer a tag team, by the looks of it anyway, we're down to what? Two tag teams on this show? Mm-hmm. Maybe three if you count Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada.
Yeah.
But like, it's kind of rough. It's a little bit rough there. You know? And I saw this match like a month or two ago, and it wasn't very good then. So
yeah.
I don't care for the NXT women's tag division, but Io Shirai and Mandy Rose, yeah, I'll watch that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We then got the first of three, which we might as well talk about now, all of them together. The Duke Hudson Poker Room with Cameron Grimes, which I've seen a lot of people in the chat say that they really enjoyed these segments. Maybe I'm just completely jaded about this entire stuff, but I didn't think this was very good, personally. It's just... Cameron Grimes came in and did... Like, we know he's funny. Cameron Grimes is a funny man. I think the material he's been given in the last couple months has been really bad.
Uh-huh.
To the point where even he is having trouble saving it, you know? Like, he was coming in, he was like, what are we playing? 21? I got 22. I'm like, did you just reference the Jake Roberts promo from Heroes of Wrestling?
Like, what? Everyone wanna play 21? Beginning of Botchamania.
Why would you... Whatever. Duke Hudson's playing him at poker, and the joke was that Cameron Grimes didn't know how to play poker, but was winning accidentally. Which was the joke from the first skit, and then the joke from the second skit, and then the joke from the third skit. It was the same joke every time that Cameron Grimes accidentally wins. Lol. And like that was it. That was the whole thing. And then he accidentally won at the end, and Duke Hudson was like, oh my God, I can't believe you won. And then he flipped the table and Cameron Grimes walked off without taking his chips, which you really need to like cash out. So I don't know why he didn't take those, but you know, whatever, that's fine. I thought this was a waste of time, I'll be honest.
Yeah, we'll get a 2-minute match between Duke Hudson and Cameron Grimes next week out of it.
Sure.
A match that will mean nothing. See, I think I may have had this realization while you were off, but I think one of my biggest problems with NXT 2.0 is they spend so much time on stuff that does not matter at all.
Mm.
And that might be segments like this. That might be like pushing Boa still after a year of all this, which I'll freaking get to. It might be all these Andre Chase segments when he just will go out and lose in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Good shows don't spend that much time on the thing that doesn't matter. You highlight the things that do matter. And to me, I don't understand the point of these poker segments. Because if your whole character is just, I'm a great poker player. And then you go out there and you lose poker to a guy that doesn't know how to play poker. Why do I care about your stupid character?
Mm.
It's a dumb character to begin with, but you're also bad at it. It's also a lie. Yeah. Your character is a lie. You are not a good poker player, Duke Hudson. You lied to me. Also, what kind of poker room is this? You know, it kind of makes sense. No. I don't care if this is overthinking. I'm just thinking. It makes sense for the APA to be playing poker in the middle of the backstage area, right? Because they're just a couple of guys drinking beers, smoking cigars, and playing cards backstage. When Duke Hunt's like, step into Duke's poker room, or whatever the thing is called, step into the poker room, or we're going to play poker. When it's just a little pipe and draped off thing, you couldn't have spent a little bit of money on a set. You know, I just can't get into this presentation.
No, I can't either. And I felt this way earlier during the Dakota Cora Jade match as well, because like after she won, Dakota Kai's music hit, but then like it immediately fades out before there's any reason for it to like properly fade out. And like the match was very botchy. And I was like, this show feels very amateurish. And you can get away with that kind of thing. Again, people are going to moan because I'm comparing things to AEW. You can get away. I'm just saying this as a generalization, not specifically about NXT and AEW, but I'm using them as examples for this. You can get away with being amateurish when you're like a new company. When it's your first time doing this kind of thing, people are more willing to forgive you as you learn the process as you go. You know, AEW has many production issues we've seen over the time with their music not being loud enough, and you know, the whole, let's not even get talk about Revolution. You know, and like the camera angles from the Blood and Guts match and all sorts of stuff. Yep. That they've had things that have gone wrong with them on the production side of things. And people are way more willing to forgive that because they are a fresh new company and because they have goodwill with a lot of the fans. They're much more willing to be apologetic. The thing with NXT is that you're part of WWE who's been doing this for decades. They should know better by now. You can't get away with amateurish presentation because they've been doing it for ages. And even though it's NXT, it's the subsection, it's the developmental of WWE, you're still part of the big one. You're not the underdog in the story. You're not as part of that underdog visualization from the fans, which means people are way less forgiving about mistakes that you make because you have all the money in the world to fix it and you're not doing it. You know, when you make mistakes, they're much more noticeable and people are way less forgiving about it. Rightly or wrongly, I'm just saying that's the way that people's minds work when they view this stuff. And that goes for both of us. You know, if NXT makes mistakes, we notice them way more because it's like, wow, this happened in WWE. That's weird. Like they should know better by now. That's the one thing that WWE does really well is production. Which is when they make mistakes, you're way more likely to spot it. I just think it's a very interesting observation because the show felt very amateur, which is unusual.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway, we then had the Dakota Kai Cora Jade match, which we've spoken about. And then we got a promo from MSK.
Oh, God, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
Boy, I can't believe we lost those tag titles.
I don't know, man.
I'm losing my mind watching the show.
We used to really like MSK, man. We were like the big advocates for MSK, and now they're just proving everyone else right by being very obnoxious. Like, I like the joke that we're never going to find out what MSK stands for. And, you know, they were telling the story of how they came up with MSK and a bus goes past. And then after it goes, they go, and that's how we came up with MSK. And they were like, oh, that's so funny. And I'm like, I get it's a funny joke. The delivery and the execution is really bad. It's really, really obnoxious. And I don't really like the team anymore.
And the timing of this. They just lost the tag team titles. And they're in the middle of talking about how important these tag team titles are to them. And they're making jokes about their name. You know? Whatever. You know, like, when someone loses, when Drew McIntyre loses the WWE Championship and gets kind of, well, MSK didn't really get screwed out of it. But regardless, you lose a title that means a lot to you. I don't want to see you coming out the next week and cutting jokes. I want to hear you say that I will kill you to get these titles back. I will die to get these titles back. These titles mean everything in the world to me. And I will put my career on the line just for the taste of having that title again. I want that title so much. Oh, my God. Yeah, but you know what MSK stands for? Whatever. Like, I'm really trying with this show. I'm really trying. And then you bring up the next segment and I went, oh, yeah, that sucked too.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I got. Well, you've mentioned all the points. I don't really have anything else to add. I just didn't really like it. And another thing we're probably going to disagree on is this next segment.
Hell yeah.
Because it's Zion Quinn versus Robert Stone, and they have a singing competition.
Hell
and
yeah.
Then Zion Quinn kills Robert Stone in a match. And I didn't know whether I'd missed something in the last couple weeks as to why this is happening. They came out for a match, and Zion Quinn is dressed in a suit. Like, okay, my notes for this go... Why is Zion Quinn in a suit? Why is Robert Stone in tennis gear? What the F is happening? I really hate this show. Robert Stone is committing, bless him. He sings Frankie's music. And then I wrote, F off. Quinn sings HBK's music. I just effing why? Those are my notes for this whole segment. I didn't like it.
This was the best thing on the show by leaps and bounds. I think my brain's been broken.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, brain broken. That's Braun Breaker's name.
Brain broken.
I don't know. I just saw this and I was like, I would hate this, but I don't. You know, and I don't have a reason to not. I just saw it and went, no, I like this one. This one's dumb. If you're gonna do endless squash matches on this show, at least give me a dumb skit beforehand with Zion Quinn. Remember when he was a mute for like 2 weeks? He showed up and he didn't speak. Now he's out there and he's singing Shawn Michaels entrance music. Maybe I just wanted to hear that theme music again. I don't know. Maybe I just wanted to hear someone sing Sexy Boy again. I don't know. I don't care. This is the best thing on the show. 10 out of 5. It sucked.
Why would you have Zion Quinn do it? He's supposed to be the big, strong, like, barely talks tough guy. And then he just comes out and does Shawn Michaels entrance music. Why this guy?
I don't care.
I don't know, man. I don't care.
It's the best thing on the show. Hey, man,
There was a morsel of a thing I enjoyed, which was when Robert Stone went for a punch and Zion Quinn turned it into a dance move. And I was like, that's funny. That's a good joke that you've done there. I like that. But like, it's just, what the hell is this? So, yeah, he absolutely tossed Robert Stone afterwards, like proper yeeted him into the sky. It was a long way up. It was quite cool. Zion Quinn, I think, looked great coming out of it. In terms of like physicality, like his whole he's got a great look, and like his the way he was just chucking Robertson around the ring in the actual match was really good. Like I think he looked great coming out of it. It was just everything before. I was like, what relevance did any of this bit have? Like,
he's a sexy boy, Pete.
Sexy boy. That one. Oh my god. What a perfect way to sum it up. I'm sorry, I've just seen in the chat, Valab Mamadipuri has summed it up perfectly. NXT 2.0 is a sketch show. Oh my god, it is. It's a sketch show. Nothing goes over 5 minutes.
Yeah. Damn. Hadn't looked at it that way, honestly, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what Zion is?
Mm.
He's just so sexy, boy. Thank you, Rabambi. I totally stole that from you.
Is that the thing he does with his hands? He's doing the just so sexy thing.
Yeah, he's voguing, right? But with his arms. I like this guy. Zion Quinn's gonna end up being my favorite NXT star somehow.
I really like the dude. I just hated the segment.
I don't know. Have Zion Quinn come out and sing classic WWE entrance songs. Like this, and I love it. I don't know. Did I like this? I don't know, Pete. I don't know if I'm doing a bit or not. I've lost myself in the bit.
You worked yourself.
The bit has consumed me.
You have worked yourself into a shoot. Oh,
I've
god!
I've absolutely worked myself into a shoot. I don't know. If someone said, is this good? I'd be like, I don't know. Yes? No? Maybe?
I don't know. Can you repeat the question? I'm not asking me now. God. All right. Let's move on from that. Because I don't want to alarm anyone. I don't want to make anyone worried or anything. Trust me, I'm okay. I'm safe. I agreed with Joe Gacy.
Yeah, I didn't hate this one.
Whoa!
This was the first one where I saw some substance in what he was saying. I was like, oh, there's interesting concepts in this little promo.
He said, social media is a cesspool. And I went, you're right, Joe Gacy. You are correct, in fact. It is. And then he was saying, hey, people are judging friggin' Harland without even getting to know him. That's not cool. And I was like, I mean, you're kind of right. This was all right. This was fine.
Yeah. If they got away from the asinine writing of the whatever triggered, blah, 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 stuff, you get rid of that and just do stuff like this, I don't think it's a bad character. Mm. You know, this is a safe space and I'm a wrestler, but no violence. That stuff can go away. But I mean, it was one of those moments where he was just like, he's kind of right. He's a little bit right about this. Cause I mean, yeah. What have we had to judge Harlan on besides just his appearance so far?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if this plays out well, which, I mean, 50-50. But if this were to play out and be well written, I'd be like, wow, that was a very interesting way to subvert expectations and play around with some character work. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I can hope.
So just to clarify, I just want to sum up what you just said there, Tempest. Were you just telling me to let it play out and see how it goes?
I don't want to say yes, but in this, every once in a while, I'm just like, maybe I'll see. I feel like it's a little bit different. If they do a good thing first, then I'll be like, okay, I'll let it play out. When they do the bad thing first and people are like, oh, it'll make sense in the end, let it play out. I'll be like, no, I will not let it play out if they start with the bad thing. When they do the good thing, then I'll be like, okay, you've bought yourself another week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Backstage, Electra Lopez says she likes Zion Quinn.
I like Zion Quinn too. We have that in common.
Then we had Legado del Fantasma versus Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. His name is Von Wagner. Still not over it. Legado del Fantasma won. It was a fun match. There were some interesting things going on. Kyle O'Reilly being Kyle O'Reilly. Von Wagner did some cool power spots. It was a fun little match. But the vibe just feels off. This is a, not a pun unintended here. There's an intangible asset to NXT 2.0 as a whole, but especially most things involving Kyle O'Reilly since NXT 2.0. It's just, it feels off. Something feels wrong about all of this. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether that's just us wanting the old Kyle O'Reilly back or missing the old NXT or whatever it may be. But all of this just feels weird. I don't know what
I mean.
Feels odd. Feels odd.
I want the really great wrestler to do some really great wrestling things on a great wrestling show.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if that's too much to ask. You know? Like, Kyle O'Reilly has been one of my favorite wrestlers for like a decade. He's amazing, and he's been amazing everywhere that he's gone. And he's been amazing on this show fairly consistently until about 7 months ago, whenever Adam Cole kicked him in the head. Until then, Kyle O'Reilly had just been fantastic. And since then, I haven't enjoyed like any of what Kyle O'Reilly's really been doing, aside from like a good match here and there. And I don't think it's wild to want more for Kyle O'Reilly than to be losing in a tag team with Von Wagner.
His name is Von Wagner. I'm just going to keep saying it. His name is Von Wagner.
Yeah.
If it was Von Wagner, it might be okay, but it's Von Wagner.
Von Wagner.
Von Wagner. But it's Von Wagner. Anyway, yeah. Kyle's losing in a tag team that's not with Bobby Fish. And it's just strange.
What was this match, Pete?
It was fine.
Hell yeah, it was.
It was fine.
That I don't know if I've ever seen a tag team match that was more "it was fine" than this.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't bad. It was not bad by any means. This match was not bad. But I will never think about it again.
Yeah, legit. Yeah, absolutely. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams are backstage. Andre Chase is there. We had the next poker room thing. My notes for the next poker room segment were, Grimes wins by accident. I don't care. that was where I was at.
I'm gonna walk the line very briefly. Because this is nitpicking, but sure. I was just like, whatever. It really takes me out of things watching these poker things when he's getting amazing hands on every single hand. That's not how cards work. That's not how cards work.
That's just poker. If you're better at the game, you just get better hands. That's just it. You know, there's no luck involved at all. It's all skill. Famously, poker is all skill.
Yeah.
Andre Chase comes out. I quite enjoyed that his microphone didn't work. It's another amateurish thing. I don't think that was planned. And he just chucked a microphone. I thought it was really... He has good comedy chops, that Andre Chase. Microphone wasn't working. He just chucked it and said, "Give me one that works." And I was like, you know what? That's funny. I like Andre Chase. Similarly to Cameron Grimes, I think he has really good comedy chops. His material is not good. He had the one joke about chucking the guy out of his presentation thing with Odyssey Jones, and that was funny. But then they did the same joke again the next week. And it's like, okay, it was funny the first time, but diminishing returns, you know, that's a thing that exists in comedy. And he says he's not a coward. This was from The Haunted House last week, which I didn't see. So was it any good, Tempest?
I'm the wrong person to ask. You know, if you like goofy wrestling garbage, then yeah, you probably liked it. If you're me, you don't like that stuff.
You didn't.
Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes had some funny lines. Mm-hmm. There were some funny moments in this thing, but it was also the zombies match from Backlash. If you like that, you probably like this.
Oh, that was a bad match.
I thought that was the worst thing I'd seen all year.
No, that was a bad time, that. But he says he's not a coward and he challenges anyone on the roster to come out and beat him up. And Bron Breakker did. He came out, he was very cool, and then cut a promo afterwards saying, "Hey man, Ciampa is the better man right now. He took advantage of my inexperience in this ring, but I am going to beat him for the NXT title one day, or I will die trying." And I was like,
"Hell yeah,
that's a good line. He can cut a good promo. This man is very good. A lot of potential in Bron Breakker. Like that man."
This promo, awesome. This is the babyface promo that you cut the week after you lose. Take notes, MSK. You're not sitting at a goddamn bus stop joking about your stupid name. No, this was great. I really enjoyed this. I still think that last week's match could have done a better job of getting Bron Breakker over as the star coming out of it, which got a whole bunch of discourse over that last week, but I stand by it. I don't think that Bron Breakker came out of the match looking better than when he went in. And I think there's still a way to do that in defeat, and they just didn't do that. This promo helps a lot. If he had just come out, wrestled the match, gone back, I'd be like, oh man, he's taking a big old step back. But no, this promo I thought was really good, and it gave me a little bit of faith that that's not going to happen, that he's going to be protected, he's going to move on, and someday he'll be NXT champion. I don't know how long we're going to wait for that, but I've got a little bit of faith.
Yeah, I agree. Imperium were backstage, kind of a promo, not in English. Ah, the heels. And then Gigi Dolin and JC Jane said they have a match next week and they should watch them. And then Gigi like strokes the rose across Martel Bartel. And I even thought that Marcel Bartel had a funny comedic timing, even though it wasn't in English. He still had good comedic timing on his thing. He had the subtitles coming up of him saying like, "Hey, I mean, that is sacred, but America's got its benefits, you know," talking about Gigi Dolin, which was funny, but also they're just so sexy.
Are these two just so sexy? They don't they don't do the "I'm just so sexy" promo as often as Mandy Rose do.
It's true.
Maybe they're just sexy. Maybe they're not just so sexy. And that's the difference. That's why she's the leader, because she's so sexy.
Okay. But it does sound like a negative when you say they're just sexy. Like, they don't have anything else to, like, they're just sexy. Whereas, like, Mandy Rose, just so sexy. It's like, oh, that's, like, one thing that she's got, but she's got... Why are we talking about this? God, I hate this.
This is what NXT's brought us to!
This is terrible. This is terrible content. Sorry.
They're just so sexy!
Just so sexy. Anyway, do you want to know what wasn't sexy? Lashing out with Lash Legend. I still don't get it. I don't.
What are you talking about? Tony D'Angelo. Hey, he's just so sexy.
Hey man, let me preface
Gabagool.
This. let me preface this.
Bobbity Boofy.
Anything that had Lash Legend in the segment, I just didn't enjoy. I don't get her character. I don't get the show. I just don't. It's just bad, okay? It's just bad. That's all I'm going to say. However, Tony D'Angelo, Tony D'Angelo is amazing. I love this man now. I hated him to start with. Hated the character. The more I'm seeing him, I'm coming around on the guy. I thought he was brilliant in this segment. And you know what? They told a story, Tempest, because they had the backstage segment before where he wanted to come on the show. Lash Legend said no, and then he kidnapped the producer of the show. And then they brought out the producer on this show with Tony D'Angelo. And he came out in like a sling and was clearly really nervous around Tony. And Tony was being like, it's like, you know how we say like Roman Reigns' manipulation is like on point. That's like the best thing of his character. Tony D'Angelo's presence here. And it's just like him just being like, hey, man, why don't you say hi to your wife? I forget the name. Let's call him Chanel. Why don't you say hi to your wife, Chanel? And you got the rope swing in your front yard. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy. I hate all of that. And he was like, why don't you tell her that nothing happened, huh? And he's just like, yeah, nothing happened. Don't worry. It's all totally fine. He's like, hey. And I was like, properly. That's funny. I like that character. It's cool. I like Tony D'Angelo, okay?
Forget about it. I don't know. I've been paying attention to the chat. People are talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was like, where's all my Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff? Of course, this is the day that I seemingly cannot find the two Yu-Gi-Oh! Pins that exist on my desk that I got in the Secret Santa last year. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever. I don't see... I don't care. I don't care about lashing out. I've wasted too much time thinking about it this week.
But I do care about Tony D'Angelo. That man, I love him.
Yeah, forget about it. Baba de Boobie, Gabagoo. You did the emoji. This one. You got Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Can we move on? I don't want to. Yeah, my brain can't. I can't handle this segment. It's fine. Whatever. Make it mean something.
Speaking of not handling stuff, Solo Sikoa is just an Uso. He's just an Uso. Like, I know it's not just looks, okay? Pointing at Yu-Gi-Oh stuff.
My blue eyes.
No, you go on. You talk about the third.
I'm trying. I'm trying to do a show here, Tempest. We're going off the rails.
This is a Yu-Gi-Oh podcast now, pal.
You've activated my trap card. I don't know anything else about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Say goodbye to Exodia!
We're 2 months into NXT 2.0. I summoned my Egyptian god card to destroy NXT 2.0.
I was gonna say, can the Egyptian god destroy NXT 2.0?
Yeah. I activated special ability with its second sexy mouth. It blows up anything with 2,000 attack points or less. NXT 2.0 definitely has less than 2,000 attack points.
I'm trying to make a point here, Tempest. All right, go ahead. I'm trying to do a thing. Well, there's a bit I want to get to because I've got a funny clip for later. Solo Sikoa is just an Uso. He's using the splash as his finisher. Why aren't they calling him an Uso? He looks like an Uso. He wrestles like an Uso. They're doing the same thing with Bron Breakker, where it's like, he's not a Steiner, but we're going to give him all of the Steiner things. Stop it. Stop it, NXT. I don't understand.
I have no idea why he uses a splash. What a mystery it is. No idea.
Anyway.
Squash matches. There were like two matches on this show that went more than a minute.
Yeah, it's fine.
This is why I don't like the show.
Brooks and Jensen are American. Did you know that? Did you know they're American?
Oh boy, it's kind of
crazy,
they?
Right? They're American. They do American things, like they cook steak
really badly.
Yeah, real bad.
What a freak. Brooks Jensen has what's the opposite of eternal goodwill? It's like eternal bad will. He'll never be over to me. Yeah. He'll never be over to me. It's
bad steak.
He eats well done steaks. What a freak.
It's bad.
That's heat.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because you use the heat to cook the steak.
Oh, that was not good, Tempest. I'll be honest there, bud.
Send you to the Shadow Realm, Pete. Watch yourself.
All right.
Kirby's Feather Duster.
Yep, I have.
Oh, there's cards in here that I like.
I have
Bron Breakker, the Magical Warrior. It was all worth it. I got there by accident.
With this show. They're American. They do American things, and they're going to do American things. We had Boa versus Grayson Waller next. And LA Knight was on commentary and distracted Grayson Waller. Here's the thing I want to play. Hey, look, man. I know this is developmental. I know that Grayson Waller is still a little bit green, right? He has been impressing me in his previous matches. I thought he had a lot of potential. I thought he was great. The bump he takes here when Boa kicks the rope out from under him. So you know when people kick the rope out of you, like you lose your footing and your feet go off and then you hit the ropes and you fall onto the floor and it's, oh no, you got kicked off the ropes. Oh no, that's not very good. Watch what Waller does here when Boa kicks the ropes from him. Boa comes in, kicks the ropes, and he just falls. It's like he's already just timber. There's no movement in the legs. The legs are still stable on the rope, and he just falls forward. It's not great, guys. It's not good. I'm just gonna play it once. Just look at him. It's not good. Oh, he's already falling before Boa's even kicked the rope. Oh, Grayson Waller.
I kind of went nuts on the, I don't know, whatever. Grayson Waller and LA Knight are feuding, I guess. They had a match. They had a match 2 weeks ago to determine who is going to win and get the job of hosting Halloween Havoc. And then Grayson Waller lost, but he was the host anyway because LA Knight had car trouble or something. And they both wore the same costume. I'm catching you up, Pete. This is the great stuff you missed last week. They had an argument, and then that's when Solo Sikoa showed up. Now we're gonna go again. They're gonna wrestle again, and I could not care less about this feud. But that's not true. Actually, I could care less about this feud because I could care about this feud as much as I care about goddamn Boa.
I was wondering when we were gonna get to the Boa side of this this equation.
Boa's push has been sent to the Shadow Realm. For God's sake. For God's sake. This has to be a rib. Boa, the push of Tian Shaw has been the most offensive thing on NXT in the last 12 months.
Tempest. What push?
Right? Oh.
Do they have one? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Wait a minute. Oh, I don't know where that card is. Damn it.
You saw about the fusion card, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I have that somewhere.
Let's reference something else because they did a fusion dance. We'll reference a different thing. It's fine.
Fusion. Ha! And then Boa and Mei Ying, right. No, other way. Fingers got to touch. We're going to become the intangible.
The intangible to WrestleTalk.
I don't know what's happened to this show. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. Piss one off with Boa.
He combined with Mei Ying, apparently. He kneeled in front of the throne, turned around, and did he had Mei Ying face paint and blue smoke. At the thing. They're fused now, I guess. Tian Sha is now one person. Whatever. Who cares?
Cool. Christ. That's fine. I want to like Boa, but I can't.
No. Cameron Grimes won at poker, but doesn't take any of the chips. Kaylee Ray breaks some stuff. And then we had Tommaso Ciampa coming out, saying that Halloween Havoc was a changing of the guard. Kamala Hayes and Trick Williams interrupt. Kamala Hayes says that he's the A champion in NXT because he's the North American champion. And then Trick Williams goes to attack Ciampa, and Ciampa just dropped him with one punch, which I thought was a cool little moment. And then Gargano enters for the main event because it's Gargano and Dexter Lumis versus Hayes and Williams. And they have a little stare down between Gargano and Ciampa before they go to the ad break. Does it mean anything? I'm going to say no. I don't think they have any plans for another Gargano-Ciampa thing. I think they just did it because they could.
Yeah, probably. Probably. You know, it's probably like you could just do the thing of not have them walk past each other.
You could.
And not deal with that. But if you're going to have them walk past each other, you have to acknowledge at least something. So maybe. maybe they do something again, because I don't really want to see it, I'll be honest.
No, like, I don't either.
That their feud was cursed by someone. Tony Khan put a hex upon Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. I don't know. Like, their feud generally, genuinely, is one of the most cursed feuds I've seen in, like, WWE history. From the amount of injuries that derailed plans, and then the pandemic derailed the plans again, and then they had that really dumb cinematic match where they put their hand tenderly on each other's hands, and then, no! Mm-mm. Not a fan of how the DIY thing ended, but I'm ready for the next DIY storyline to start.
Are you?
Well, I mean, just if by that I mean like the next DIY quality story in NXT.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
You know, it's like I don't need, like, you had Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville, and then you had like DIY Revival, which led into DIY, and then we're supposed to be Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, but that never really panned out like that. I'm ready for the next great NXT feud.
Yeah.
Whether we get that ever or not, I don't know.
It's Bron Breakker and Von Wagner, obviously.
Christ. I like the little promo battle they had, though. This to me stuck out like they will do Carmelo and Tommaso Ciampa at some point. Not necessarily like soon, but when they do it, they have some existing B-roll that they can be like, oh, remember when they had a confrontation. And that to me is smart long-term booking. that's assuming that this is what they're doing and not just a segment, but
yep.
I'm with you. This was all right.
Yeah, this was fun. The main event match was Gargano and Loomis versus Hayes and Williams. And this was once again, fine. This was a fine match. There's a lot going on in this match, and they won with a shoe.
I would say this was slightly better than fine. I would go so far as to say this was good. The first tag match was fine. This was better than that. So therefore, it was good. I don't mind Dexter Loomis in this role. And that's coming from me. Still does his little knuckle walk thing, which is fine. I've seen dumber stuff. As long as he's not doing his other gimmick, like when he really plays up the creep part of it. If he's just a mute baby face with his teaming with his father-in-law, it works for me, man. That's cool.
Yeah, this was all right. Looked like Dexter was going to get the win, but Williams on the outside hit him with a boot, and then that allowed Carmelo Hayes to hit the big leg drop onto Dexter Lumis and get the pinfall victory, and they won. There you go.
Solid.
Good.
This was solid booking. Wet my appetite for the Gargano and Hayes match. They didn't give it away. Yeah. They didn't have them do too much in the ring with each other, but they did enough to make me go, I am excited to see that match. I hope they do it soon.
A solid end to this show, I thought. And overall, I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Yeah, this show was pants.
It was not very good.
You know what, like, is good?
Like
the goddamn Yu-Gi-Oh! Can I recreate that one Sting poster, but with like a Yu-Gi-Oh card over my face? You know the one where he's got the Undertaker. The Undertaker's on the card, right? Or was it the other one? No, the Undertaker was on the card. I'm gonna do that. Just be like, yeah. Shadow Realm. I'm sending NXT the Shadow Realm.
I didn't really like a lot of this show. The stuff that was not bad was all right. With the a okay main event, a decent main event. 2 out of 5, I guess.
Yeah. This show tops out at being like fine or good even. That's its height these days. They don't do anything on the show to make it a great show. Like, sorry, but a show full of 5-minute segment. This is why I lose my mind reviewing these things on the thing, the edited review, because there's so much stuff. There's so many 5-minute bits. I was like, I can't talk about all of them, you know, and most of them don't matter anyway.
Yeah.
There's so many squash matches. If you gave some of these matches time.
Yeah.
I'd like to show so much more. You can cut all these stupid poker room segments and just have matches go a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the Ultra Chats.
Let's do it. Let's review episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh! I would review the hell out of Yu-Gi-Oh!
And I'd be there like, I don't know what's happening. but I'm sure it'll be fine. Anyway, let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. But before we do, just want to say one more time, we're sponsored by Beer52, who are amazing people who sponsored us loads over the summer and in years gone by. They're great people. And a special offer for you guys, specifically for our channel, if you go on to the link below at beer52.com/WrestleTalk, that's in the description, or pinned comment in the live chat, go click that and you can get 10 free craft beers, better than the 8 you get from other people, because we're so amazing and they're great, which is why they've given us this offer to give to you guys. Go check the link out. 10 free craft beers. You have to pay for the postage. $5.95 for UK viewers only. And you get awesome tasting beers. What more do you want? It's nice beer. And if you don't like a certain beer, you can get a different kind of beer. It's good. You have choices. Go do it. 10 free bit. Ultra Chats. Support. Restore.com/support. Last chance to get those in. Let's go through them. Manuel Cifuentes. I'm sorry. Sup, y'all? What a shame. What happened to NXT? I would be always looking forward to watching the 1-hour version on Hulu since I don't have cable. Thankful for you guys watching it for me, because I haven't seen 2.0 since this 3-week push premiere. Go Kraken.
Yeah, go Kraken. Hockey. Woo! Yip, yip. Yeah.
Yip,
sports.
Yip, yip.
Yeah.
Is Appa a Kraken?
Maybe. You don't know.
Are the Kraken an Appa?
Maybe.
Alpaca.
They could be. You don't watch hockey. You don't know.
You know what? You're right. I do watch Avatar The Last Airbender, though. What a show.
Let's review that.
Let's review that
instead of NXT.
Yes. Let's do that, Tempest. Can we start a channel, just me and you, and we'll just review Avatar? I'd do it.
Hey, man.
I'd do it. Alpaca Nation 87 says Zion Quinn should take the Joe Hendry shtick of singing parodies of songs for his entrance music going forward. No.
Yes.
I just don't want it.
Do it.
I don't want it.
I want it. Do it for me. You've taken so much from me, NXT. Give me this.
I don't want it. Just stop. Zion Quinn was really cool. Why'd you have to make him do Shawn Michaels? Not get into it.
Now he's a sexy boy.
Sexy boy. I can't not do it. Brian Moore said, a lot of NXT 2.0 booking is just worse versions of stuff we see on the main roster WWE. Zion Quinn is the new Vladimir Kozlov. What a great comparison.
No, it's a terrible comparison. That's so mean to Zion Quinn. Zion Quinn is so much more talented than Vladimir Kozlov.
I think they're treating him like the next Vladimir Kozlov, not that he actually is in terms of talent.
I don't know. I don't really see it. They never had Vladimir Kozlov sing during his first push, which is good. You shouldn't have done that either.
During his first one, probably
his only push. His only push. He never got pushed again after that.
During his after the next bit.
Well, yeah, when he was with friggin' Santino, he did dumb stuff.
You talk funny.
That's double E.
Forgot about that. Tell you what, though, that Santino Marella, Sheamus, Vladimir Kozlov tea party segment is genuinely very funny.
It's a good one.
I'll give him that. It's a good one. Riot DR says, remember when Trey Baxter almost had a character? Remember when Trey almost had a story? I miss Trey. Also, Von Wagner still needs to work on that human emotion thing.
That thing. You know, that thing. Yeah, I miss Trey Baxter.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, well, now he's second to Cora Jade when she's on TV, and sometimes even he's not even on then. So, you know, that's fun. Alpacanation87 said, please banish me to the Shadow Realm wherever NXT 2.0 doesn't exist. Nice.
See what I can do.
Go ahead, Tempest.
Three sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Kaiba, open your mind. I'm getting you to watch Yu-Gi-Oh, Pete.
Sure. I have the time. I have so much time for that. Bacon Rasher said, hiya lads, thinking back to FCW with the talent then, would you rather watch that than NXT 2.0? Also, can I just add, on a scale of 1 to a million, how sexy is Mandy Rose? Lol.
Just so sexy.
You can't put it on a scale. It's just so sexy.
It's just so sexy.
Yeah.
She, on a scale of 1 to sexy, she is the scale.
Yeah, she is the scale, exactly. Think about FCW with the talent back then. Would you rather watch that than NXT 2.0?
I'd rather do neither.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll take option C, but not that option C.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, Seth Rollins was there, but so was like Mason Ryan.
So was Dean Ambrose.
Listen. NXT Prime, I will call it. The good NXT wasn't a developmental show. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. It was a super indie. And that's why it was good.
Mm.
I don't want to watch a developmental show.
No.
You know?
Because it's developmental.
I don't want to watch
it. Point.
Yeah. I don't want to watch. I have so much to do with my week. I don't want to watch any developmental show. I don't care whose it is. I don't watch Dark. Because it's a bunch of matches that for the most part don't matter. I understand that there are people that like it and there are stuff on there that's good, but I don't have the time to watch all of that. I would prefer to watch just good shows.
Yep.
That's just like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Avatar.
Mm.
Or Dragon Ball Z.
Avatar's a good show. We have a note from moderator Rob that says, can we have more Yu-Gi-Oh! Spyro, DBZ, etc. every week, please? Sure.
Spyro case.
I love Spyro. Spyro's great.
They got a little bit.
What's your favorite Spyro?
The third one, actually.
That one's very good. Year of the Dragon is fantastic.
It's my favorite. I've heard a lot of people don't like that one as much.
Really?
It's like their least favorite of the three, which I have a hard time believing because I like that one a lot. Maybe, I don't know, because a lot of people also say that they like the second one the most, and that was probably the one that I liked the least, strangely enough. Maybe I was in a bad mood when I played that one. I was listening to a lot of 3 Days Grace when I played that game for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that impacted my mood, because I was just like, this animal I've become, the whole time. So, I don't know, maybe. But yeah, Spyro, I love all three games. I love all three.
Yeah, they're all great, and yeah. I think I'm very biased because I played the third one first and then I played the second one and then I played the first one. And I was like, I just don't think the first one's as good, but that's definitely because I played the other two first and I already had my,
it also came out first.
So
the LIW Power Hour coming to Wrestle Talk podcast, talking about Spyro and Yu-Gi-Oh and Avatar.
It's perfect. It's a flawless business plan. Let's do it. Anyway, that is going to do it for your Ultra Chats. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for the Ultra Chats. Go check out Beer52 by clicking the link, beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Link's at the top of the description. Go get your free crate of 10 free craft beers for UK viewers only. God, that was the thing I was trying to say. My brain is already frazzled somehow. I've only been back a day, and yet here we are. This one's purely for the Membergs, everybody. I can't tell whether my internet's just terrible, or you're just lagging out, or your internet's bad, or I'm lagging out. I have no idea. But you're lagging out quite a lot for me.
Oh, wow. I haven't noticed anything. I'm coming through clear. You're coming through clear. I haven't seen any buffering or Wi-Fi reconnecting or none of that. So,
amazing.
I don't know. Talk about D&D.
I'm going to talk about D&D. This is going to be fun. I'll talk about D&D. So, there were seven of us. We were playing for 7 hours. This was a big session that's been building up for ages, where the current party had to essentially quell a rebellion. The lower classes had rebelled against the higher powers, essentially because in the world that I've created, the study of magic is regulated and very, very expensive. So it's inherently a little bit classist, because only the people who can afford it can really learn to study magic.
Yes, racist magic.
Classist magic, not racist in my world.
Racist against goblins and mudbloods.
Mudbloods. So they essentially, in this one city that they were familiar with, there was this uprising. They'd been teleported in to help out quell the rebellion, basically, because they had very good terms with the current people in power. And the person basically said, don't kill them, because they are very innocent citizens in my city. They've been essentially strung along by these other people that are essentially influencing their choices. Please don't kill them. They're my citizens, but please go out and stop them from causing damage and things like that. So they went out and they killed a bunch of them, which was very entertaining to watch, for starters. One of the guys, they felt like they were on top of the world. The guys that were actually in the rebellion were not trained fighters or anything, so they were only doing, you know, very, very small amounts of damage, but there was a lot of them. And then there was one dude who was basically running the whole show, who was in charge of the revolution, who effed their ass up. He was a big tanky dude, and he kind of ran over them and was very, very strong. Ended up killing one of the characters in the party, which was fun. So then that guy died. There was also, in the middle of this rebellion, one of the characters came across her family, who were fighting on the other side of this rebellion. They literally came to each other in the battle, like face to face, like, hey, what you doing here? And then they're like, what are you doing here? And then they had this kind of like face off and stuff, which is cool. They then, all of them left, her and her family just left like the battle and went away by themselves, had their whole own thing going on, managed to defeat the main guy. They needed some very expensive diamonds for a revivify spell, so they could bring back their dead companion. But revivify has a time limit. You only have 1 minute after the person dies to try and cast a spell and bring them back. So the guy had died, and then they needed the diamonds, but the diamonds were in the backpack that the woman who had left the battle had on her. So they were like, Christ, we need that bag. It has all the diamonds in it, and we have like 50 seconds. So they had to send her a magical message, which went further away, to say, bring the bag back. It has the diamonds in it. We need them. This character's down. They then turned around, sprinted back, chucked the bag to them, then sprinted off again, trying to find her family again, and had to this whole thing. And then at the end, oh my God. So I had another guest, a friend of ours who had joined, who's not normally in my D&D campaign, but he was playing a guest character because he was just playing with us for that one session in person. And he was playing one of the like the generals of one of like the Kingsguard in this city. So he was a fairly high up individual, and he was chasing after these family members with the character and her family, because he saw that these people were one of the primary people running the whole rebellion. I gotta go do my job, you know. Was running after them, managed to stop all of them in their tracks. So it was this one character in the party, her father and her brother, and this general. And he'd made the father and the brother get on their knees, and she was just kind of standing at the side, just surveying, because she didn't really trust her father and her brother, because they'd kind of abandoned her as a kid, left her in like an orphanage and stuff, and she'd assumed that most of them were dead, and they weren't. So that was a whole thing. And he was looking between the father, the general was looking between the father and the brother, and he was kind of eyeing them up, and he goes, which one of you is the better fighter? And they were looking at each other just like, neither of us, we don't really fight. And he goes, no, I ask again, which one of you is the better fighter? And then the character chimes in and goes, me. And all of us were like, oh, what? And so then
shock, horror.
Like, I know. Everyone like freaked out. And it was really cool. And then, but then he was like, okay, don't worry about it. He takes out a healing potion and he's like, just pick one of them, whoever needs this potion more kind of thing. And she starts circling the two of them on the floor, gets up behind one of them and just snaps her brother's neck and just goes, yeah, pick my dad.
Don't bother.
It was really awesome. Long story short, she basically killed her entire family through various means because we're running out of time. But everyone freaked out because no one saw this, especially me. I had no idea this was going to go on. I was planning out the social interactions between this character and a family for ages. Did not see this coming in the slightest. Killed a brother. Her dad took her to a mother that was being kept away in safety in like a basement of a house. Killed her father in front of her mother and then locked her mother with the dead bodies in the basement and just locked it and walked away. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? It was delightful. And also the combat was really fun. It took like 5 hours. It was amazing. It was just a really fun time. Everyone loved it. And it's the first time I've managed to play a session for my campaign, which has been going on since September 2018, that we've got everybody in person together. And that was special. That was
wunderbar. Wunderbar. Yeah.
So I know this has just been the D&D podcast, but we are going to have to wrap it up there because we now need to go live for the actual main show. Thank you, everyone, for watching. And we've got to have more LIW content. I've got so much stuff to catch up with Tempest about because I just spoke about D&D for this whole outro. But whatever. We'll listen to other podcasts and we'll catch up about more stuff. Thank you for listening. Really do appreciate it. We'll catch you in more content coming soon. Catch you guys later. We love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.